Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to the Sunday service of Free Community Church. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And for those of you who are joining us online, a warm welcome to you as well. So let's take a moment to greet one another. Doesn't look like there are very many people here at the moment, but turn to your neighbor, give them a smile, give them a wave. If you're online, you can also type into the chat greetings, and our moderators will be there to respond to you as well. So as we enter into this sacred time, I invite you to take a moment to put away your phones, put away all those things that are distracting you, and just try to be present. Be present in the presence of God, in the presence of each other in this community. Now I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join me in the call to worship. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us be glad this day for life, for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of all creation.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works.
Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord. Now I invite you to remain standing, and let's join our hearts and voices in a time of worship.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in light, still I will say,
every blessing you pour out, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed child, so I have worth. Break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. If I'm more beautiful, more precious than the oil, some of my desires, fullness of my joy. Like you spill your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. Here I am, take me as an that I have left, so I have a word. I laid it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. And though I feel the strength, and though my days are few, you gave your life for me, so I will live my life for you. Like you spill your blood, spill my heart as an offering to my King. Here I am, take me as an offering. Here I am, giving
Let us pray. You may be seated if you... Dear Father, Mother, God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather today to worship you, to fellowship together, and to remind ourselves of your love for us and each other. We give you thanks for all your blessings, past, present, and future. We thank you for speaking to us in all different ways, reminding us of your love, giving us direction, encouragement, and inspiration. We thank you for the hope that we have in you, that we can place our trust in you. We thank you for the blessing of those around us, for the good advice or material help and care that we may have received at the times that we really needed it. We thank you for wisdom to make good decisions and strength to face times of adversity. We thank you for friendships and community support. We pray that we might be a source of comfort and appropriate help to others in times of need. Teach us and help us learn to be better communicators and to better express your love to others in a way that is meaningful to them. We also pray for those who are carrying heavy burdens, for those who are facing financial difficulties, for those who face sickness and medical conditions. We also pray for those who are facing major decisions in their lives, and for those who feel stuck with no direction. We pray for those who are suffering because of bad decisions, whether their own or someone else's. We also pray for the victims of war and conflict and famine and drought and natural disasters. We pray for those who are struggling with their relationships, whether with partners or family or friends. And we also pray for those who are struggling with mental health. We pray for those who feel alienated from the community for whatever reason, and for those who feel isolated. Whatever situation people find themselves in, we pray for your comfort, for your strength, and for your inspiration. You know our needs before we ask. Help us to understand how to solve problems and resolve the conflict in our lives. You know us better than we know ourselves, and you also know those around us, whether friend or foe. Help us to live in peace and to resolve our differences. We pray for the leaders in our church, in our communities, in the country, and all over the world. We pray that they may act with wisdom and compassion. We give you thanks, Lord. We now offer our own personal silent prayers. For all these, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word, I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship up the name.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Not enough energy. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
We enter into the liturgical season of Easter as we continue to celebrate the resurrection. But even as we celebrate, we need to keep in mind that this isn't the end of the story. Resurrection is just the beginning of new life. So, for some of you who might be new here, whether you're joining us online or here in person, we have been using Menti as a way to engage all of you and get you involved in the sermon as well. So you can either scan the QR code or go to fcc.li/menti and join us. As we go forward, as we explore, as I ask you some questions that get you thinking, right, so that you can participate as well. But before I start, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. So I hope that you're very locked in, because we are going to jump very quickly to questions to kick us off. In the book, The Last Week, which by Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, which I based our arc of Holy Week, right, from Palm Sunday all the way to Easter Sunday, we've been using this book as a way to explore the Gospel of Mark and the themes that come out. And they point out that two themes run through these stories that sum up the central meanings of Easter. Two themes. So I want to invite you to think about what are these two themes that run through the stories that sum up the meaning of Easter. Right? I like word clouds. I hope this is a word cloud, right? I hope I selected the right thing on Menti. So think about it. What are the two themes? You know, we hear different stories of Easter, whether it is about the empty tomb or the road to Emmaus, or the revelation to the disciples when Jesus appeared to them, or whether it was Thomas, you know, or even the rest, or even the conversion of Saul to Paul further down the road. What do these stories, two themes that run through the stories that some is redemption, trying again, inversion, death, hope, resurrection, renewal, new life, seeing clearly, surrender, restoration. Thank you. That's seeing clearly. Despair. He is alive. Strength, not domination. New beginning. Yeah. Resurrection is quite central, right? Resurrection, hope. Thank you. Thank you for, you know, salvation, yes. Deliverance, sacrifice, humility, Christ conquering death, empire. Bock and Crossan writes, right, the two themes that run through the stories that sum up the central meanings of Easter. The first is, in a very concise phrase, Jesus lives. He is alive. Jesus continues to be and to operate. The Spirit, the presence His followers knew in Him before His death continues to be known. Jesus lives. The work that He started continued through those who followed Jesus in ages past and continues through Jesus' followers today. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So the first theme is Jesus lives. And the second is God has vindicated Jesus. God has said yes to Jesus and no to the powers who executed him. Easter is not about an afterlife or about happy endings. Easter is God's yes to Jesus against the powers who killed him. The stories underline this in different ways. In Luke and John, the risen Jesus continues to bear the wounds of the empire that executed him. See his hands. In Matthew, the risen Jesus has been given authority over all the authorities of this world. In Mark, writing most concisely among the authors of the Gospel, says simply, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised." The authors of the Gospels do not speak about Jesus' resurrection without speaking about his crucifixion. And his crucifixion by the collusion between collaborators and imperial power. In the words of the earliest and most widespread post-Easter affirmation about Jesus in the New Testament is, "Jesus is Lord." And if Jesus is Lord, then the lords of this world are not. Easter affirms that the domination systems of this world are not of God, and they do not have the final word. So in our celebration of Christ's victory over death, let us not think that that is the end, and more importantly, that that's it. The declaration that Christ is risen is therefore declaring two things. Jesus lives and God has vindicated Jesus. Good Friday and Easter is both personal and political. We have talked a lot about personal transformation here at FCC, but not so much political transformation. And I know many of you have issues with the word political. Right? We don't want to deal with politics. We should separate religion away from politics. But political, being political, is at the very heart of Jesus' message. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. And what is the good news? Christ is risen. And that declaration is itself political. Because when we declare Jesus is Lord, then the lords of this world is not. Politics isn't just about who wins elections. It's about how this world is run. The story of Holy Week, as Mark and the other Gospels tell us, enables us to hear the passion of Jesus, what he was passionate about that led to his execution. His passion was the kingdom of God, what life would be like on earth if God were king and the rulers and domination systems and empires of this world were not. It is the world that the prophets dreamed of. A world of distributive justice in which everybody has enough and systems are fair. And it is not just simply a political dream. It is God's dream. A dream that can only be realized by being grounded ever more deeply in the reality of God, whose heart is justice. Jesus' passion got him killed. But God has vindicated Jesus. This is the political meaning of Good Friday and Easter. And even as we celebrate Easter and Christ's victory over death, war is still happening in many places. The past 6 months of Israel's military campaign following the attack brought relentless death and destruction in Palestine, with over 100,000 people reported killed or injured, the vast majority women and children. Even earlier this week, 7 people working with the NGO World Central Kitchen have been killed in the Gaza Strip in an airstrike. These are workers who have just left the warehouse helping to unload 100 tons of food aid to Gaza. And I want to remember their names. They are Saifuddin Issam Ayat Abutah, Lizomi Zomi Frankom, Damien Sobol, Jacob Flinkinger, John Chapman, James Jim Henderson, and James Kirby. I want to honor them. I want to honor them for their courage and their sacrifice. They knew where they were going was dangerous. They knew that they might lose their lives for what they do, to feed the hungry. And I also want to remember all those who have died in this conflict whose names we do not know. Palestinians and Israelis, and many others of different nationalities, civilians and children and soldiers. And I also want to remember the others who died in other conflicts. Because when I proclaim Jesus is Lord, I'm saying yes to God's kingdom of peace, justice and love, where there's enough for everybody and the systems are fair. I cannot proclaim Jesus is Lord without saying stop all wars now, not just this one. I cannot proclaim Jesus is Lord and at the same time believe that military might and violence is a solution. I cannot proclaim Jesus is Lord and at the same time support the death penalty. In the last 2 paragraphs of the book, The Last Week, Bog and Crozen write, the personal and political meanings of Holy Week are captured in 2 nearly identical questions. The first one that many Christians have heard and responded to, do you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? It is a crucially important question, for the Lordship of Christ is the path of personal liberation, return from exile, and conscious reconnection to God. We talk a lot about this in FCC. We often see ourselves as the prodigal returning back to God and God being the parent that runs out to welcome us. But there is more. They continue. The virtually identical but seldom asked question is, do you accept Jesus as your political Lord and Savior? The gospel of Jesus, The good news of Jesus, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God, involves both questions. The gospel about Jesus, the good news about Jesus, is at the heart of who we are. Holy Week and Lent are about an alternative procession, an alternative journey. The alternative procession is what we see on Palm Sunday, an anti-imperial and non-violent procession. Now, as then, that procession leads to a capital city, an imperial center, a place of collaboration between religion and violence. We see it now today. Now, as then, the alternative journey is a path of personal transformation that leads to journeying with the risen Jesus, just as it did for his followers on the road to Emmaus. Holy Week, as the annual remembrance of Jesus last week, presents us with the always relevant questions. Which journey are we on? Which procession are we in? Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The good news is Jesus lives. Jesus is Lord. And we participate in what Jesus was passionate about, the kingdom of God, how life would be like on earth if God ruled. So I want to ask you now, what do you think are the values of God's kingdom? What do you think matter to God in this kingdom that is already present among us, as Jesus has taught? It is here, within you. What are these values that are central to this kingdom? As more and more of you answer, the bigger words are the ones that more of you replied. Love seems to be the biggest one. Justice, compassion, peace, trust. I think the values of God's kingdom are revealed through the prophets. A world of justice that the prophets dreamed of. Amos's dream of a world where justice rolled down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Micah's dream, where we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Isaiah's dream, where God will judge among the nations, where they will beat their swords to the plowshares, their spears to pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they learn of war no more. And in Jeremiah's dream, where we act justly with one another, and not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow. That's God's kingdom. And as we proclaim, He is alive, we're also invited to go out to proclaim the good news that this kingdom is already here, and we participate to make this kingdom real. This week's lectionary passage, interestingly, is from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This passage echoes Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell the possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That was how they imagined the kingdom of God to look like. How things would be like if Jesus is Lord. No, I'm not advocating for all of you to sell your possessions and goods and become a commune and give everything to the church. Instead, I want to express heartfelt thanks. Because time and time again, you have stepped up to support the work of this church. 2 weeks ago, we made an ask on behalf of Yen Mei for a clinical pastoral education course that, you know, we were asking for $2,200. We raised $3,975, almost twice the amount. Thank you. On top of that, even though our fundraising targets for the first 6 months is increased, because we hope to raise the whole renovation fund of $100,000 in 6 months, we are on target. That is because of your generosity to this community. Thank you. We are not a large church. We have 123 members, and yet we do quite a lot with the resources that we have. For me, it is really about stepping up with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that we have and watching God work wonders with what we do offer. This is what keeps me doing the work that I do. I know that I serve a faithful community that's answering the call to go into all nations and proclaim the good news. You have been a faithful community all the way back more than 10 years ago when we decided to purchase this property. And then we were smaller then, and we had to raise money to buy this. And people stood up. When we need to raise funds for our T-Mart to support elderly transgender persons with groceries, you stepped up. And even for supporting ministries beyond our community, you stepped up. So here, I want to invite each one of you to consider how you can participate in FCC. It's not just about financial giving. We have need for volunteers, especially in our production ministry, to enable us to reach those who previously we were unable to reach, literally enabling us to go into the world. You know, we have folks in the Hive and folks right here operating cameras so that we can broadcast on YouTube. That is work that we need to do and continue to do. And yet, the powers of this world continue to rule over us in ways that we don't often see. We are bound by and captive to the ways of this world. And in some ways, how we live right now do not reflect that Jesus is Lord. in our world today, we have developed unconsciously, I think, a consumerist attitude. It feeds on our selfish natures. And while we may declare Jesus is Lord with our lips, in reality, we are Lord, because we are selfish by nature. We are often preoccupied by what affects us and not concerned with what doesn't, not our business. And this consumerist culture perpetuates that. In our mind, perhaps, what is it in for us? What is it in for me? In one way, I think, we behave like an audience, right? For those of you present, you'll see that we have the floor plan of our premises here, right? Last week, during the cloud project discussion that we had, that Zihao led, he pointed out that the space can change how we relate to one another, right? And our current arrangement, what we call the theatre style, really feeds into that. Those of you who have been with us for a while, you'll know that in the past, we have a stage right here, and I think the chairs were further up. And then we tried to change things a bit, remove the stage, and then remove the altar closer, and bring people closer, and we had a U shape. We tried to address that so that it does not feel like a theatre and that you're just watching. But because of COVID, when we came back, we also have requirements to broadcast our services, and we reverted to this theatre style of seating. Whether you're and watching the service online, which most of you will have watched it online one time or another, or on a TV screen, on further exacerbates the feeling that you are watching the service and not participating in the service. I know this cannot be helped, because many of you are actually not in Singapore, and some of you work on Sundays, and some of you really stay far off, right? From Pasir Ris here, I think you take 1.5 hours, even if you take the train. And then going back is another 1.5 hours, right? So this is one way that you can attend service. The thing is, we watch movies, we watch plays, we watch TV, but we attend church. We hope to create ways, both in person and online, that this service is one that you attend rather than you watch. We have actively tried to address that. We use Menti to engage with you. And we are keeping in mind this, and this desire to engage, this desire that the space should reflect our values and how we want to do things. And especially when we are looking to renovate this space. We hope that this space will enable us not for us just to do church, not for us to just broadcast the service, but also aligns with our values and principles, so that it is a participatory engagement. I know that, traditionally, church has always been the pastor preaching to you, and it's a one-directional thing. We're reimagining how we do things. Because times have changed. We need to get on with it, and get on with what God is inviting us to do, so that each one of you can be empowered to live out your call as disciples of Christ. This year, for those of you who have joined us for our Maundy Thursday service, I intentionally did not set up the space on time for the service. I wanted those who came to help set up and be engaged and participate in the setting up. Jesus turned water into wine, but somebody need to fill those water vessels with water. No, fill those vessels with water first. Jesus washed feet on Maundy Thursday. Someone need to bring water, fetch the water from the well to the building. We lose sight of a lot of these things because we just make assumptions, right? We are so blessed in our modern world that we just turn on the tap and there's water. But in participating, we come to realize that we have a role to play. So instead of just passively watching the service, we join in and become part of the service as well. Every Sunday at 10:30, and maybe a couple of minutes late, we come into church expecting everything is ready and service can start. That's a correct expectation, right? But that also creates a posture of consumption, a posture of watching instead of participating. I want to challenge us to rethink all this, because you're not passive people. You know, you are called to be disciples and followers of Jesus. That means something. This sermon series for Easter is titled Go, because Christ's resurrection is only the beginning for us. We're not called to be an audience or consumer. We are called to be disciples to go out into the world to proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The good news that Jesus lives and Jesus is Lord. That's something to think about. This is the Cloud Project graphics, right? I hope that as we work on the Cloud Project and envision how we redesign this space, we also think about how we envision ourselves as a community. A community that empowers people to seek out what God has called them to do, called them to be. You can see that there are many, you know, post-it tags that are on the map. Grab a post-it. I don't know where the rest are. If you have ideas, just put them on. This is a work in progress for all of us. There are things that people put in. We need accessibility for people who are wheelchair users. We need to be cognizant that we want to create space for children. An imagination of what God's kingdom is like, here and beyond as well. We hope to be able to empower people to do the work, like Anting, who is working on a book telling stories of survivors of conversion therapy. There are others in our congregation who are working as missionaries serving Burmese refugees. And we have people who have made career changes to become social workers to serve others. In each way, each of you are going out into the world to proclaim the good news. I asked at the end of Palm Sunday, what is that alabaster jar you are willing to break to follow Christ? I want to close today inviting you to think about this throughout the week. And this Menti will be left open for you to log in, you know, the same code, right? ftc.li/menti. To put down this, how would you go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation and participate in the kingdom of God that is based on love and justice in both personal and political ways? In both personal and political ways. As you think about this, I want to reread you from the closing paragraphs of the last week for you to think about. The personal and political meanings of Holy Week are captured in two identical questions. The first is one that many Christians have heard and responded to. Do you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? It is a crucially important question. For the Lordship of Christ is the path of personal liberation, return from exile, and conscious reconnection to God. The virtually identical but seldom asked question is, do you accept Jesus as your political Lord and Savior? The gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God, involves both questions. The gospel, how Holy Week and the journey of Lent are about an alternative procession and an alternative journey. The alternative procession is what we see on Palm Sunday, an anti-imperial and non-violent procession. I'll pause here. There were protests in Israel, in many cities, asking for the resignation of their prime minister, asking for a different way to handle things rather than one of war and violence. That, to me, is a procession leading to a capital city, an imperial center, a place of collaboration between religion and violence. We, of all people, should resist collaboration with violence. Christ revealed the non-violent way in his death on the cross. And now as then, the alternative journey is a path of personal transformation that leads us to journey with the risen Christ, just as it did for his followers on the road to Emmaus. Personal transformation, moving away from our selfishness, our self-centeredness, to see how we are connected with one another and how we can love one another. Holy Week, as the annual remembrance of Jesus last week, presents us with the always relevant questions. Which journey are we on? Which procession are we in? I want to close in prayer and also close in song. Will you join me in prayer? God of the moon and stars, we proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We proclaim the good news that Jesus lives. And because he lives, he showed that, God, you have said yes to him and no to the powers that executed him. We proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and not power, not fame, not wealth, not military might, not nation, not violence. Jesus is Lord. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. So go, go into all the world and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is alive, and Jesus is Lord. Amen.
So as we go into the world to be God's ambassadors of God's message of love and grace and justice, this meal is there to remind us that Jesus lives. So we come now to a time of Holy Communion. And we gather each Sunday at this table. So even though at this time we're not all physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. We are your people, God, called together in your love. We are your children, Mother, called around the table of your word. We are your disciples, Lord, called to praise and give you thanks.
We thank you, good and gracious God, for calling us to be your people, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to touch and bless our world.
Even as your people, God, we are separated from ourselves, each other, and you, the creator of life. Let us confess our brokenness. As people caught in our tradition, we confess that we have helped perpetuate systems that deny the dignity and sacred worth of all sorts and conditions of persons. We have paid lip service to equality. Our lives are based on discrimination of the other. We have been our own worst enemies. We have failed ourselves, others, and we have failed you, God. Moved by your power, we accuse ourselves because we have not allowed you to form us as a new people. We confess our sin and we pledge to work for reconciliation with one another. We thank you, gracious God, for forgiveness and the chance to start again. We thank you, gracious God, for the gift of your Spirit given to us in Jesus, in whom we are freed from the past and its oppression, in whom the gift is complete. Gracious God, you are the Mother of creation and the Father of all life. We are gathered as your people to thank you for your blessings, to receive your mercy and forgiveness, and to remember how Jesus died for us, accepting death to show his love for us and you. We remember how Jesus came to us, becoming one of us, born like us, of flesh and blood and bone, a fully human person like us in all things but sin. We remember how on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends for one last meal. Siblings, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more, ever. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love you as I have been loved. Abide in my love. This is my blood shed for you. Take, drink, remember me. May I now invite the stewards to come forward to distribute the elements? For those of you who are watching at home, now might be a good time for you to get your own elements to represent the bread and the wine so we can all partake together. And if you're joining us for the first time, please hold on to the elements when you receive them, and then at a certain point, we will all partake of them at the same time. Thank you. together. Jesus, you are always present in our midst. You come to us simply, lovingly, humbly, in word and sacrament, in this bread and wine, and in the love we share with one another. Let us eat and drink of this bread and wine, remembering Jesus, his teaching, his life, his suffering, his death, and his rising to new life. Let us partake together. May I invite you to stand in body or in spirit. Gracious and loving God, you have made us one in the body of Christ and nourished us at your table with holy food and drink. Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst. With deep gratitude, we offer you our lives, our love, ourselves, gathered in Jesus by your life-giving Spirit. May we become a new people, holy, pleasing to you, a people giving glory to your name. Amen. Please be seated. You may pass your cups to the aisle and the ushers will come around to collect them. So welcome again to the Sunday service of Free Community Church, where FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. FCC is an inclusive church. That means you're welcome here regardless of your sexual orientation, your gender identity, your economic status, your religious background, or any of the labels the world puts on you. So to those of you who come here every week, and to those of you joining us for the first time, welcome home. My name is David. I'm the service leader for today. So if you're new with us, maybe you came in the door and the people greeting you have already asked you to fill out a form, but if you've not done so, or if you're watching online, we would invite you to scan this QR code or go to fcc.li/welcome. You can leave us your details there, and we promise we will not spam you. It will just be a way for our pastors, our staff, to reach out to you and find out how we can serve you and your need and meet your needs. And we also have a newcomers meeting every month. It's on the last Sunday of each month. So this month it will be on the 28th of April. And this happens right after the service. It will be a chance for you to get to meet our pastors, some of our leaders, and find out more about who we are as a church. So if you'd like to be part of this, please email info@freecomchurch.org. Okay, so now we continue to worship God with our giving. There's two ways you can give, as usual. So you can give by PayNow, by scanning these two QR codes. So one of them goes to our general fund. The general fund is what is used to pay for the operational expenses, mostly goes to our staff salaries. And the other is the renovation fund. So renovation fund, we're trying to raise $100,000 by June so that we can embark on refreshing this place. I think we've been here about 9 years now. So a lot of the equipment is starting to break down, seeing some wear and tear. So we're trying to raise that sum. The two account numbers are there if you want to do a bank transfer. And you can also give by credit card at freecomchurch.give.asia. This only goes to the general fund, and it does charge a 1.5% platform fee. But we're grateful for giving in any form. I think there's actually an update. So yeah, this is the time of the month when we give you an update on our finances for up to the end of March. So praise the Lord. Okay, very good news. We are doing very well, actually. Our general fund is slightly ahead of where we need to be. And our renovation fund is almost there where we need to be. So again, as Pastor Miak said, we thank you so much for all your generosity because we, as a small church, rely on all of you to keep our lights on and keep going. And thank you for, by donating, you're telling us that this ministry is important. Singapore needs a church like this where we can be openly affirming. I think we're the only church that is openly doing so at the moment. And your generosity enables us to keep doing that. So thank you. Let's keep up the momentum. And for those of you who are regular donors, your members, we do encourage you, if you've not already done so, please set up a standing instruction with your bank so that each month you can automate your giving rather than having to key it in week after week after week. That also allows us to have a more steady cash flow as well. So please do so if you've not already done that. And now join me as we pray for the offering. Dear God, you've called us to be your disciples, to go into the world, to spread your message of love, of peace, of justice. Lord, thank you for all those who have generously given to FCC to help us continue this ministry, to be a place where all are welcome, all are included and affirmed, where people can find that safe space to worship you as they are without needing to hide parts of who they are, and to be affirmed and welcomed in totality. So Lord, we pray that you bless this offering, help us to use it to continue to be that light for you in this country and beyond. And bless all those who give. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'd like to, now invite the ushers to come forward to take up the offering. If you are like to drop some cash in the bag, please raise your hand and the ushers will come to you. So while they're going around, we have a few announcements. The first announcement is SEED. So SEED stands for Settle Easily, Engage Deeply. This is a four-week session for newcomers to our church, and it's a way to introduce you to our theology and our history. And this session 18 is actually starting today. So if you are not yet signed up for it, but you really want to go, it's not too late. You can still be part of this. It will be today at 12 o'clock, and Raymond will be the leader. I think he's at the back, so he is waving his hand back there. So if you have not yet signed up, but you would like to join this session, please look for him after the service. Okay, now we have another exciting announcement. So one of our members is currently raising some funds for a book project, and this book project will be chronicling her experience in conversion therapy. Now, for those of you who don't know what is conversion therapy, it's a practice that attempts to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. And it's only until recently that people have decided this is actually harmful. And in many countries, this is now banned. But in Singapore, it's still going on, especially by religious institutions. So this book is going to tell stories of the author and as well of two other members of FCC. And it's an important counter-narrative against what has been propagated by the mainstream church in the past 5 years. So if this is something you might be interested in supporting, please check out the campaign. You can scan this QR code and help to spread the word, because this campaign will be ending in 11 days. All donations in any amount are welcome. And you can also follow the author on Instagram or TikTok at fearfullyandwonderfullymade.sg to share the posts with a friend who you think might benefit. And the author is, in fact, here. We'll wave her hand there. So if you want to talk with the author about this project after the service, please do approach her. Okay, as usual, we have CARE. CARE stands for Counting on All, Relying on Everyone. And it's where you can get prayer after the service by just coming forward. There'll be two people with a badge saying CARE. They will pray for you if you need to. And also, we have lunch khakis. So for those of you who are new to this church and you don't know who to eat lunch with, we have two volunteers, Juliana and Angela. They're at the back there waving their hands. So if you would like a lunch buddy for after the service, look for them at the back of the church. They'll bring you to the local coffee shop for lunch. And so that's the end of our announcements. Now I invite Pastor Pauline to give us the benediction.
Will you rise in body and spirit for the benediction? Jesus, you are alive. And Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord over all of the systems of power in our world today. You are most importantly Lord of our lives. And so God, help us as your people to go out proclaiming that you are Lord, that you have a better way, and help us to embody that love, that justice, that shalom in our world today, in every way that you give us opportunity to. So now go, and go as God's people, and may our God of shalom go with you both now and always. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for service today. It was so lovely to see all of you, and also for all of you online. As you go, may you go in peace, and God's peace go with you. Amen.